After the terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, Cash Patel and the FBI have started an investigation.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Actually, let's open them up. We open up the phone lines. We got to. All right, having an issue? All right, phone lines will be open for you soon at 1-800-684-3110. But if you're online right now, thank you for joining us. You can get your comments in on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. We will be broadcasting for the next hour live. So I really appreciate all of you who are joining us right now. Look, I didn't get much sleep last night. So if you're like, Logan, you're looking a little disheveled, you're looking a little rough. What happened? Obviously, this is another heartbreaking incident, another infuriating terrorist attack that's now happening in the streets of America a little too frequently. You know, we're used to hearing these kind of headlines out of the Middle East. It's part of the risk sometimes of, the phone lines are open, by the way, now, 1-800-684-3110. It's one of the risks, if you will, of living in Israel or living in any of these areas is that targeted attacks are sadly fairly normal. But we live in a different country. We live in the United States of America, where you should be able to say what you want to say, proclaim how you want to proclaim, believe how you want to believe, and have civil discussions, or even have discussions that are hostile. But they don't end in violence. We're just a few weeks out from the last attack, where that couple was murdered out in front of, or that worked for Israel, and you know, one was an American, and they were about to get married. You know that whole story. And then yesterday, a terrorist open-flamed, if you will, Molotov cocktails and used a makeshift flamethrower to attack a peaceful protest, not even a protest, a peaceful vigil, if you will, in honor of the Israeli hostages that are still in captivity, are still being held. We can't let this continue on. This can't be the way America continues on. This is, you should not be able to, you should not have a problem walking down the street showing your Judaism, honestly showing any of beliefs, showing if you are Muslim or whatever it may be, a Christian wearing a cross, wearing a Star of David, wearing a yarmulke, wearing a hijab. Because we have built a different kind of country. But unfortunately, here we are, where attacks are happening in Colorado, in Washington, D.C. And these are just sort of the top headline ones. Of course, we remember even the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, his house was essentially firebombed also, destroyed over Passover. And it all coexists and combines in a moment where you feel like there is this misunderstanding, because so many people conflate all of Judaism with the state of Israel and the government of Israel. And look, I am a Zionist. That was not a dirty word 2 years ago. Now it is. They've corrupted the entire movement, and they have made the goal, by the way. The goal is not to protect and free the Palestinian people. I would love that to be the case. It is to keep Hamas in power, and to inflict terror around the world and destroy the Jewish people and destroy the Christian people, destroy people of different sexual orientations. This is what's happening. And that could be the least American thing that exists. And the FBI has stepped up. And, you know, I got to give it a little bit of credit here to Cash Patel. We're going to talk about this in the next segment. And Dan Bongino, we're talking about this earlier. It's very nice to wake up to an FBI who immediately says, we know what this is. You don't have to give us 8 hours investigation. Even the Colorado police was like, hey, we don't know what the FBI is doing. We don't know if this is terror. And of course it's terror. And of course it was targeted terror. And Dan Bongino and Cash Patel both quickly said, that's what this is. We're going to get into their statements coming up in the next segment. I want to hear from you. You know, there's been a lot of people on the right and on the left as well, obviously, but on the right that have stoked a lot of this anti-Israel sentiment over the last few months. And we are now seeing the results of it on our streets. I want to hear from you. Maybe you disagree with me. That's fine. Let's chat it out. Let's talk it out. 1-800-684-3110. And we'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Back on Secular, phone lines are lighting up, so give us a call. We still got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are talking about the terror attack that happened on our soil in Boulder, Colorado, attacking pro-Israel vigil attendees, essentially. Marchers, if you will. These weren't protesters. This was something that happened every week, Will. So clearly it was targeted. And then when you saw the images coming out of it, you know, there was a moment of, we don't know motive, it's too early. And you'll kind of understand that's the cops' jobs. They can't necessarily jump to that. But it was nice to have an FBI say, no, 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 we know what this is. We can see very clearly what this is. Let's stop messing around here and actually just say what it is, which is anti-Semitic destruction, anti-Semitic attacks, not just anti-Israel. You can have a problem with a foreign government. You can have a problem with your own government. Not everyone who voted for Kamala Harris is anti-American. Not everyone who voted for Donald Trump is a pro-American, for that matter. They're not universally exclusive. You can have a problem with a government, but that's not what this is. This is, they decided to go in and attack once again, this time, people who are there saying, we just don't want to forget that there are still hostages in Israel. And I have to say to some of my friends who are on the other side, who say, hey, you know, we don't see the anti-Semitism happening in America. We think that you're overblowing this stuff. I try to, you know, send a few messages when any of this happens, send a few texts, just show headlines. I don't even spread commentary. I'm just like, here's the headline. And here's what I would like as a response. Oh man, that's terrible. Instead, I usually get 3 pages of explanation of why it's justified. We're living in a fallen time here, everybody. But Will, this was not some sort of isolated one moment of thousands of people protesting. This was a weekly vigil.
That's right. This has been going on since the weeks following October 7th. And it was an organized group called Run for Their Lives that host both like walking vigils, yeah, as well as some like 5K type events where they're doing this to raise awareness specifically of the hostages that are still held by Hamas. And this isn't some like support the government of Israel group. This is specifically about the hostages. And I think that's also something to point out. There are many groups that are very pro getting the hostages home, raising awareness, that are even critical of the Israeli government for their response. So even in that light, the hostage issue is in many ways politically been separated from support for the Israeli government. But this individual was an Egyptian man. He was here illegally. He had overstayed a visa under the Biden administration, came here on tourist visa, overstayed, never went home, has been here for years now. And he was shouting Free Palestine, some things that were unable to say on the air about Zionism and about you killing children, so we will kill you, things of that effect. And this was at a crowd of people where the injured, the eight injured, were ages 52 to 88. And that 88-year-old individual was a Holocaust survivor that is advocating for hostages. Someone who is living out the message of never again. Someone who survived the Holocaust and is now advocating for those that is the worst killing of Jews since the Holocaust, October 7th, advocating to bring home hostages. And on American soil in Colorado, she is set on fire by a terrorist who came from Egypt, overstayed illegally, and took the cries for intifada literally. We talk about that intifada word. This is the example. This is the manifestation. Intifada was mass suicide bombings, fire bombings in Israel. Thousands of Israelis killed.
Yeah, as of right now, they won. And that's was I saw one of the sort of pro-Zionist commentators I follow on social said something, you know, you've been screaming the Free Palestine and all that. Well, guess what? You got it. And here's what it looks like in America. They won. Doesn't mean we can't say this is not right. Doesn't mean we can't call it out. Doesn't mean we have to stop it. Because we do. And again, I'm saying that for all people. Not just Jewish Americans. Not just Jewish Israelis. Arab Israelis. People in the Palestinian territories who are under great oppression, who are not free to do what they want to do. All of this has got to stop. But when it starts showing up on our soil, it is different. I do treat it a little differently. I'm going to go to Ronald, who's calling in Georgia. Ron, I know you're a longtime caller. Go ahead with your comment.
Hello, Jordan. I was just kind of struck with your thought that this is happening in America. I know this is terrorism, but when has violence never been part of our culture? And evil is not going to lay down and die. And this problem is probably not going to be solved by man. It's going to keep going on until the Lord comes to straighten everything out. But just everybody be aware and go back to when we were saying, you see something, say something, because we all are in a fight and it's not going to end.
Sure, Ronald, I'm not ignorant to the fact that war is not going to continue on, that people are not going to incite violence, that's not going to be a regular occurrence. Now, targeted violence, I think we can call out. We've seen a lot of that happen. Over the last 20 years, hate speech changed a lot. Rules changed a lot because of it. So I don't think, I think you're right. I mean, we can biblically look at this and say, sure, this isn't going to end anytime soon. However, that doesn't mean we don't fight for the injustice that's happening. We don't fight for those who are in need. And they're coming for us now. Okay, so now you can't just you'd say, okay, well, we're not surprised. I'm pretty surprised when in cold blood, people are shot down in Washington, D.C. because they are associated with the state of Israel, which, by the way, Republicans and Democrats both have been pretty bipartisan supporting until the last few years. It's never been a real controversial topic until recently. I'm pretty shocked when it then happens in Boulder, Colorado. It's not about violence. It's not about political violence. Sure, we've seen that from Vietnam and everything, that there was always this happening. But that doesn't mean you don't try to get better. We don't look back at those things and go, well, that's just part of America. You look back at it with disgust. The problem you have here is that the people who I've been talking to aren't looking at it with disgust. They can't see the forest through the trees. All they see is Israel bad, and they've been fed multiple lies, even over the last couple of weeks. Multiple lies that have said this is what's happening, even as of the day before this attack, saying that there was an open fire emergency at the Israeli that the U.S. controlled humanitarian relief center, that there was hundreds of people or 40 people that were murdered, Palestinians that were murdered by IDF soldiers. And then CNN quickly had to take that all back and go, well, we actually don't know if it was IDF. And now Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel, put out a statement saying, we've actually reviewed everything. Nothing happened. Not just that this was a, first they thought it was the IDF. For some reason, they thought the IDF opened fire on random people, but that was not how they operate. Second part was, oh, well, maybe it wasn't the IDF. Maybe it was Hamas doing it themselves. Then the third one, they find out now the answer is nothing actually occurred. No fire was exchanged. No one was murdered. And of course, that doesn't change the headlines. That doesn't just stop the violence that was incited. Same thing happened, Will, a couple weeks ago when that couple was murdered, because there was also false information being sent about this.
That's right. And to the caller's point, we are surprised because it's disheartening that this is where we're at in the United States. But in some ways, we're not surprised because this is what we've been warning about for years. Because we saw since October 7th, we warned after 2 weeks, if you get that grace period where Israel, in the eyes of the world, had just had this horrific attack and there was some empathy for the people of Israel. And we said, but just watch, it'll quickly change. And then it did. And then we warned from that day forward, this is a growing cancer that is going to manifest everywhere because the anti-Semitism that was boiling out of this was unbelievable. And then we started seeing what was happening on the college campuses, and we saw how the Biden administration was playing word games with the Israelis only to further bolster the claims of the people that were calling for intifada, yeah, that were echoing Hamas's claims.
What was the comment that
and
was
we
like
said
the,
this would happen?
The comment that they asked during that hearing that was like, are attacking Jewish students considered hate speech on your campus? Or, well, it depends.
It depends, you know, on the context. Yeah, we'll pull that up. That was Claudine Gay from Harvard.
That started so much of this, that kind of rhetoric. And look, and the problem is you also see this sort of bot control from social media where you see so much. If you post anything pro-Israel, you're going to get thousands of comments a lot of times from people. I don't believe most of those are real people. You had Tom York from Radiohead. He came out this week and just said, hey, I don't like Netanyahu. I don't like the Israeli government right now. I don't like what they're doing. But you know what, Hamas? Free the hostages. Let's end this war. And then he gets slammed for that, for saying, I don't agree with the Israeli government. I just want the hostages free. Sorry, Radiohead. That's you're too conservative.
Yeah, something no one has said ever.
Same with Bono. It said the same thing. He's like, I want us to be the Israelis be free of Netanyahu, and I want the hostages to be freed because that's how the war will end. How dare you, Bono? How dare you be such a conservative radical? This is where we're at right now, okay? And that's thanks to a couple of you, by the way, on the right, who decided to spew this hate speech and create this narrative. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Back to Secular. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And look, I know I've been talking about this now for the last few segments here, but I did want to also say there's ways that we can respond. And the ACLJ team has been at that since the very beginning. I mean, the attacks on Israel and the Jewish people, it's nothing new. But now, like I said, now it's violent in the streets of America. You know, we have, though, our ACLJ Jerusalem office, and we have our office here. We're defending even Jewish students on campuses, Christian students on campuses that are pro-Israel, Muslim students that are on campus that are pro-Israel, who fear for their own safety. We just filed another, I have a whole list here, critical legal submission to the UN last week to counter the growing anti-Semitic lies that have been spreading violence and leading to violence. We know this now. We see it. And we've just filed a motion also at the International Criminal Court to file a brief defending Israel. We got to take urgent action right now. Help defend Israel. Help defeat anti-Semitism. We can do it. We can all get together and do this. It may not come with 100%, as our caller said. He said, you're not going to stop this until Jesus comes back. And sure, that doesn't mean we can't try. It doesn't mean we have to just say, throw your hands up in the air and go, well, we're just going to wait it out. No, that's not what Christians do. That's not what people who care about human rights do. And we got to remember that these are human beings all around the world that are dealing with this. And we are called to help and support them. So you can do that right now. You can take action. You can join the ACLJ. Easy way to do it. Sign the petition right now. You can sign the petition to help defeat anti-Semitism. Because there are simple ways that we can do it, but there are some very, very complicated ways in getting the message across. Because look, I thought it'd be as simple as saying, hey, friend, I understand you feel for the Palestinian kids. Who doesn't? A kid that didn't ask to be part of this war. But when I send you a story about Americans that are being burned alive in the streets of Boulder, Colorado, your response should just be, that is horrendous. I can't believe this is happening. Not, well, you know, they associate it with the Israeli government. And that's why. Because if you've conflated even your own Judaism and your own background with Israel, because you say that you support Israel, and therefore, you know, these are the lies, these are the conversations that are happening. And then you have it also, again, like I said, not just coming from your hard left, not coming just from your left wing. I mean, look, I know people that did not vote certain ways, didn't vote Democrat because they thought it was too pro-Israel this last time around. But a lot of people are spreading this hatred, and you're not calling it out because they're voices that you, for some reason, have decided to live and die by. And it's okay to listen to people and hear other points of view. But when it starts infiltrating people's minds, we have a very different story on our hands.
Well, and we're also seeing that in the American media and European media and global media. But right before the two diplomats were murdered in D.C., there was a story that came out in many global outlets, BBC, some American outlets as well, echoed it, that there would be, I believe it was 14,000 children would die in the next 48 hours in Gaza. It was an unbelievable claim. And then it was debunked. But that inflamed so much more online commentary and in social media about how bad the Jews are and Israel is. And then what did you see? You saw that violence. In D.C. And then this weekend, CNN, the Associated Press, New York Times, many other outlets took from Hamas's media and their Ministry of Health a story that, and this was the original CNN headline, at least 26 Palestinians were killed after Israeli forces opened fire near a Gaza aid distribution center, the Palestinian Red Crescent Society said. Then they had to update their story.
Yeah, just a couple hours later.
And said, update, at least 31 Palestinians were killed amid chaotic scenes near an aid site run by a U.S.-backed private foundation in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, Hamas. CNN cannot independently verify who was responsible for the deaths. The health ministry blamed the Israeli military. The IDF denied firing on civilians, calling such accusations false reports. Here's the truth. This is from Ambassador Huckabee. Because the world was looking at this. And what happened after this? just a day after all these reports came out of what was a barbaric report that potentially Israel just started indiscriminately shooting at civilians trying to get humanitarian aid. You saw this in Boulder, Colorado. You saw firebombing. You saw a flamethrower. You saw intifada in America. What do we find out today? This is from Ambassador Huckabee in an official release. This talking about the reckless and irresponsible reporting by major U.S. news outlets are contributing to the anti-Semitic climate that has resulted in the murder of two young people at an Israeli embassy event in Washington, D.C., and the attempted murder and terror attack on a group of pro-Israel demonstrators in Colorado on Sunday. Without verification of any source other than Hamas and its collaborators, New York Times, CNN, and AP reported that a number of people seeking to receive humanitarian food boxes from the Gaza Humanitarian Fund were shot or killed by the IDF. These reports are false. Drone video and firsthand accounts clearly show that there were no injuries, no fatalities, no shooting, no chaos. It is Hamas that continues to terrorize and intimidate the people that seek food aid. Nothing happened. Even the Humanitarian Aid Foundation put out statements saying nothing happened at our distribution center. But yet those articles about 31 people that were killed are still up on all these websites, even if they adjusted the language of the title. They are still taking Hamas's word for it. That's unbelievable. When even the Aid Foundation is saying, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know they got it under attack even for, it was very interesting to watch because it was, they're blocking humanitarian aid. Okay, like I didn't like that concept. Though it is odd to be providing humanitarian aid, I understand, when you're at war to the other side, if you will. But you know what? I don't have a problem with it. I think the Israeli people don't have a problem with it. So then they set up these checkpoints, but that wasn't enough. You know, then it was, well, they're only doing this to move people. You know, there's an excuse. There is a reason that Israel bad for everything. Jewish people bad for everything. It's always justified. Justified hatred. We got some phone calls coming in. I want to take quickly, Warren, we only got like a minute right now until we go to the segment, but I don't want to keep you on hold any longer. Warren, you're on the air. You're ACLJ champion. Know that I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Like the scripture says, you know, we need to stand for righteousness. We see everything going on, but we also have to understand that it's not a battle of flesh and blood. We're battling the devil, especially when it comes to Israel. And like it says, that the God of this world, who is the devil, would keep people blinded lest the glorious light of the gospel get through. And that's what we're dealing with on the media, right or left. They are blind to the truth of what's going on. And like you said, Logan, we have to stand for righteousness. We can't just throw up our hands and say, well, it's going to happen anyways. We need to stand with the Lord and with people.
Warren, I 100% agree with you. I felt that way yesterday. I felt that way the last few weeks. I felt that way the last 2 years, which is I feel like I can see fairly clearly through all of this. And so many people, like you said, are just being brainwashed and are blind to it. And it's heartbreaking. It's infuriating. And then people who you think should be on your side have turned their back on you because they believe the hype. They believe the propaganda they're getting. And I'm not saying there's not propaganda on both sides, in Israel and in Hamas. I'm not saying there's not propaganda in America. But most of us can see right through it. But for some reason, they're blind. We got a second half hour coming up. Stay tuned.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We do have a second half hour happening right now, so thank you for joining us. For those of you who are just brand new to our broadcast right now, who are just tuning in, obviously we're talking about that horrific terror attack that happened once again in the streets of America, this time in Boulder, Colorado. Multiple people were injured due to firebombs and a makeshift flamethrower by someone who was an Egyptian national who had overstayed his U.S. visa, 45-year-old, who again used homemade flamethrowers and Molotov cocktails while shouting anti-Semitic, anti-Israel remarks, basically saying, you know, following the lead of the media, saying, well, Israel has taken our children, now we take yours. And there was initial reports that kids were involved, the kids were there. Thankfully, it looks like some of those reports initially that kids were burned. We don't know if maybe they just were not injured as poorly. The ones who were injured aggressively, including some life-threatening injuries still, were age 52 to 88, including an 88-year-old Holocaust survivor. We are taking your calls and comments on this at 1-800-684-3110. You know, I had to tell our team before we started this show, I'm usually pretty loose on comments. We don't go in, we don't ban a lot of people. I mean, if they're horribly hate speech, or if they use profanity to the extreme, or they're just trolls, sometimes they'll get blocked. But I said, today, I want you guys to be extra vigilant and extra careful. Not because I'm scared of what you're going to say, because I know how things have gotten out of control. I see how the media, and Will and I, we've been talking about this all day, how the media spreads misinformation about what's happening, and it inspires violence. And now this is maybe the second or third time of a high-profile attack that led directly after a debunked story.
Well, and honestly, one of the other things that was a positive to come out of this, not in a about what happened, but the change we got to see in our FBI, the fact that Dan Bongino, very shortly after this attack was reported, put on X, FBI personnel are on the scene in Boulder, Colorado, along with local law enforcement. We are investigating this incident as an act of terror and targeted violence. All of the necessary assets will be dedicated to this investigation. If you have any investigation tips, please contact the FBI. And if you aided or abetted this attack, we will find you. You cannot hide. That is such a stark difference from even prior administrations that were conservative.
Like, it was the first.
Hearing the first thing that is coming out of the FBI publicly is, we are investigating this as an act of terror, is good. Finally.
His statement was actually the first thing I saw on the attack. Like, I did not know the attack had happened until I'd seen the statement from Bongino and Cash Patel. I think it was a gallery picture, a few things and some headlines. And that was minutes after, or maybe an hour or two after the actual occurrence happened, and it finally started to make some news. And look, it was not a quickly shut down thing. They got the guy, but they also were very concerned. They were going through the cars. Cars were not allowed to leave. They closed down roads. You're talking about Boulder, Colorado. You're not talking about a city that is ready for this kind of attack to occur. And certainly not one so targeted. And targeted in a way that's not a part of gang violence or part of normal violence that happens in your area. I saw some friends of Colorado go, well, this stuff kind of happens in Boulder. It's kind of become a rougher area. It's like, yeah, that's not this. This is a terrorist attack on a peaceful demonstration, which, again, I don't care what side you are on this. This could have been a pro-Hamas demonstration. I don't believe that gives some pro-Israel people the right to go in and firebomb them. We live in America. You're allowed to have different points of view. You're allowed to discuss. You're allowed to protest. You're allowed to take to your city streets. And look, this was a peaceful vigil, if you will. You're allowed to do these things. We cannot tolerate, though, full hate of a particular group of people or hate in general. We've got to stop this. We're going to figure out ways to do it here at the ACLJ. You know, we do it with the law all the time. We do it here. Hopefully, we're preaching to you guys. We tell you about what's going on in the media, because that's why we don't put this stuff behind a paywall. I hate paywalls. So when you support the work of the ACLJ, you're doing that so we can get this message to as many hearts and minds as we can, because you can't change people behind a paywall. But we can't, of course, do that and have the best of the best legal team and media team without your support. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. And right now, I'm just going to encourage you to sign our petition. Show your support for Israel. They need it right now. And again, I'm not necessarily just talking about the Israeli government. I'm talking about the Jewish people of America as well. They just want to be acknowledged that they have your support.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. CeCe Hiles joining us in studio right now, senior counsel here at the ACLJ, to give you more of a legal perspective of what's going on here. Well, because we are still obviously talking about, and phone lines, by the way, are jammed, they may open up. We're going to take all these calls that have come in the next segment. So please stay on hold. Some of you I know have been hold for a minute. Some of you have been hold for 20 minutes. Stay on hold. We're going to get to you in the next segment. But Will, we kind of restate what we're going through right now. And again, the ACLJ has been involved in these issues for a long, long time, because there are ways that we can respond.
That's right. And as we are talking about, this was a vigil, effectively, not even a demonstration, but just a public statement and presence to advocate for the hostages that are still held by Hamas. And that's something that should be nonpartisan, bipartisan. I think everyone in the world should agree that holding civilians hostage by a terrorist group is something that can be condemned, that you can raise your voice about and not have the fear of being firebombed just for holding the position that hostages should be freed. But unfortunately, and sadly, that's the world we live in. But we know that it's not just Boulder, Colorado. We know that across the country, especially the hotbed of this is university campuses, that there are Jewish students that do not feel safe on campus because they are Jewish. Not because of their political affiliations, not because of their support or non-support of Israel. It doesn't matter. That those who want to spread this hate will target individuals just because they are Jewish. And CeCe, we have been fighting for the rights of Jewish students and Jewish faculty on college campuses for decades.
Yes.
We have won many cases where there was discrimination against students or faculty that were Jewish.
Yes.
And we are not going to stop that fight. As a matter of fact, we have a new client.
Yep.
That this is the very early stages, but we are going to fight for her right to exist in some ways on campus as a Jewish student. And just, I want to talk just broadly, because we'll be getting more into it in the coming weeks as more materializes, but we're starting that fight right now for a law student.
Right. And it's a law student in New York. And as you can imagine, this law student has fears of safety, and rightfully so. We've seen it over and over that definitely the student has a justified fear of being safe on campus. And so far, the school really hasn't done much. They're pushing to meet with attorneys. That's basically all they want to do. So, of course, the ACLJ is going to be there. So if this student's going to meet with the school attorneys, the ACLJ is going to be representing the student, and we will be there and hopefully have a good outcome. Like you said, we've been doing this for decades, and we are very successful at it. And what's really sad, what bothers me the most, is when you look at what's going on in the United States and all the anti-Semitic attacks that are happening, where we can go back to, sadly, is an international body that is setting the standard for this. At the United Nations, the most anti-Semitic rhetoric and attacks come out of an international body that should be standing for human rights, but they're actually setting the example, and I would say even emboldening these people to make these attacks because of what they do and how they attack Israel constantly at the United Nations. They do it over and over again. There are more resolutions condemning Israel than any other member state, 193 member states at the United Nations, and Israel gets condemned over and over. And the ACLJ and the ECLJ, our European Center for Law and Justice, stand up for Israel over and over and over again. We just did it last week. We will continue to do so because we're not going to stand for this. We can't have an international body that's basically telling the world this is okay.
And that's right. And the United Nations is the global vector for anti-Semitism. It all stems from there and gets amplified, and the talking points get shared at the United Nations, and it makes its way around the world. And that's a very difficult place to be, Logan. The United Nations. It takes courage and strength to go to arguably one of the most anti-Semitic bodies in the world and not just vote against things if you're a member state, but at the ACLJ, we put it on paper. Yeah. And we have our attorneys go and speak it. That takes courage, and that's us speaking for the ACLJ membership and donors. Those of you that give to the ACLJ, we are carrying your voice and your courage to stand up for Israel when we go to the UN and say these things, speak truth to the evil that exists in this world. So we thank you for supporting us in that, because it's not an easy task. I know CeCe has gone and done that very thing. And I don't know many people who would have the courage to go into the most hostile of places and speak truth to that evil, knowing what goes on there and what comes out of the UN.
And speaking, like you said, this rhetoric that is really targeted at one group of people. And I think that's what's also very different. And that group of people is a very tiny, tiny percentage, less than a percent of the worldwide population. But they also are a worldwide population. So that's why you have these targeted attacks even within our country. This is why Israel is a little bit different than any other country, because it's one country that's also represented by not just an ideology, not just like America, the melting pot of everything, is representing one specific ethnicity. Now, of course, you go to Israel and there are Christians, there are Jews, there are Muslims, there are Arabs, there are atheists, aplenty, because it has a Western vibe to it that actually has some of America's kind of similar values that happen within this very small piece of land. But because they share those values, because they do not murder people for their sexual orientation, they do not do things that cause chaos, they do not murder indiscriminately because their leaders tell them to, they are held in some sort of weird, different way where people get brainwashed. They can't see through it. The ACLJ team is there. Thankfully, CeCe and these teams can go and talk to people and hopefully change some hearts and minds, but it's not easy. And trust me, it is not easy. As I said, if I look rough today, I didn't sleep much last night. I don't think a lot of us did, because now it's come to our streets in America, and that is very different. Like I said, when you go to Israel, and CeCe, you were there fairly recently, you understand the risks that are involved. Right. You understand that if I'm stepping foot in a country that's currently at war, right, and by the way, they've been kind of currently at war for since their existence,
right,
but more so even now than ever, you know there's an inherent risk. There's an inherent risk when you go to downtown Memphis. There's an inherent risk when you go to anywhere where there is extreme levels of crime plus war.
Right.
Now, Israel has not been known necessarily as somewhere that's unsafe from a crime, a standard crime point of view, but we hear people attacked, people murdered. That mother, or the expected mother that was murdered in the streets just a couple weeks ago on the streets of Israel. you don't usually see that level of violence get to America. But now we've seen cold blood shootings. We have seen fire bombs. The move has changed significantly. We also have a lot of people online right now saying there's an issue with the sound. So I'm just going to look to our crew here and see if that's happening right now. So I apologize to those who are watching. If there is some issues with the sound, they said it's coming in kind of weak. But Cece, as we have just about 2 minutes left before we take all these calls or comments, I don't mean to monologue through this show, but it is, it's on a lot of our hearts. It's on a lot of our minds right now. If the idea is to love your neighbors as yourself, that doesn't mean excluding the Jewish people, excluding your Israeli neighbors or your Jewish American neighbors.
Right. And it is, it's scary when you're thinking this is happening on U.S. ground, that literally someone's walking out of an embassy and they literally get shot simply because they're Jewish. Some people are peacefully just saying, hey, let's release the hostages. And simply because they are standing up for the Jewish people, they get firebombed.
Yeah, they're not even...
is happening on U.S.
captured.
Yeah, right.
I mean, again, like I said, Tom York from Radiohead and Bono of U2 both called out Netanyahu, said, we are against what Israel is doing. However, free the hostages and this war will come to an end. And they get attacked.
Right.
So that's the smallest way. You're just saying people that are being held unjustly and have been for years. And by the way, I know a lot of my friends until a few months ago were like, look, they're all dead. We got to move on from this. Clearly they're not.
Right.
Because we've seen successfully released hostages over the last few weeks.
That's right. Absolutely.
They're keeping some of these people alive for collateral.
That's right. And we have two clients that are still in that group of people. And we pray for them every day that they remain alive and they can be released. Yes, Hamas has them. They are alive. They can be released. It's a simple thing. And to say just release the hostages, that is not anything that deserves firebombing or murder. It has gone to extreme, and we need to stop it in the United States of America. We need to show the rest of the world, because the United Nations will not. We need to show them we won't stand for this.
That's right, and you can support the work of the ACLJ. Sign that petition right now as we head into the break. In our next segment, we're going to take as many calls and comments as we can, so stay on hold if you're on hold. Kevin, Bob, Mike, Pamela, Matthew, Kathy, stay on hold. We'll get to you as soon as we absolutely can. One person just dropped off, so there's a line open for you. You can support the work of the ACLJ right now, and you can also support our work here. All you have to do is go to aclj.org, and I just ask you today to sign the petition, hit that subscribe button. Those are two really easy ways to make sure more people see this kind of message, that at least they get a counterpoint to what's going on in the right and the left in terms of anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic remarks that are happening. We got to stand up and be another voice. You can do it today. Go to aclj.org. We'll be right back with your calls and comments.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back. Last segment of the day. I know it has been an intense show, and I think we're all going to go take a 5-minute break after this because these are unfortunate days when we wake up and we're like, well, we know what we got to talk about today. Some days we struggle knowing what we're going to talk about. What's in the news? Not much. Slow news day. Unfortunately, today we knew good and well what we had to talk about. Let's continue calls about that. Let's go to Bob, who's calling. He's been on hold for a long time. Bob, we appreciate it. Bob, listening on the radio, line two. Go ahead.
Okay. Judgment must begin at the house of God, so bear with me in my brief comments. My conclusion is this man from Egypt, here illegally, came here just to kill Jews. And not only should America clean this up, but we as Christians should look in the mirror and understand three things we need to do. We need to be at any instant ready to preach, to pray, and if necessary, to die for the cause of love.
Yeah, Bob, I don't know if his reasoning for coming to America initially was that. But what I can at least say is that the media bias against the Jewish people, because look, I have a lot of Egyptian friends, and a lot of them are great. A lot of them are great Christian people too. Coptic Christians, some of the original Christians, and also Egyptians in general are not always like this hostile group of people. I've been to Egypt, spent time there. However, America, in American news media, to me, has incited people like this who may already have a bias because, look, if you see that your people are being killed and murdered and you feel like children are dying and these are your... Look, I feel it right now as someone with Jewish background. When I see that kids are getting hurt in the streets of America right now, you can't help but not think of your own children. However, if he got fed this for the last 2.5 years, I obviously still blame him. I'm obviously still very upset, but I also blame the media for doing this. And you're right. We need to be ready to pray. We need to be able to really, really always reach out to people, show the best of America instead of always complaining. And I'm looking at that at Republicans and Democrats. Show what we can do. When you sign a petition with the ACLJ, when you support the work of what we're doing here, you are showing what the American people can do when they are motivated, when they are activated, and they have a mission. Because right now, we're losing. And I don't mean that in the terms of the ACLJ. I mean that in the terms of the fight against anti-Semitism. It is being not only looked upon, it's being supported. People that I know with good hearts are telling me, well, there's justification in this. You know, there's never justification for violence. Someone said, you know, when Israel does it, it's... when the Hamas attacks Israel, it's war. And when Israel responds, it's war crimes. And it feels like that. Let's go ahead and continue on with some...
One thing very briefly also, but to Bob's point about... But this is something that we have been warning about with the southern border. It wasn't just the influx of migrants. It was how unsecure it was. And even the two Yemeni nationals, this was years ago now, but that were caught at the border, and there was a press release about it that was forced to be taken down when CBP caught two Yemeni nationals that were on the terror watch list, because the administration didn't want that out there because it was not for their narrative. And that narrative was disastrous, and it led to things like this. Someone who overstayed his visa was allowed to remain here. He was trying to get benefit, like give me a work permit, and I believe it looks like he did. So they knew he was here illegally. He reached out, and they gave him a work permit. That's the problem. And that's what leads to this, and that's why we got to clean that up as well.
All right, let's continue on and take some more calls. Kevin's calling in Virginia. Kevin, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I know D.C. has restrictions on concealed carry, probably too many. I'm not sure about Colorado, but it looked to me like a citizen with a gun could have extinguished that problem pretty quickly. And if it's a soft state, that's a sad thing.
Kevin, I don't know about the specific gun laws in Colorado, nor do I encourage anyone necessarily to take those kind of actions in their own hands. Of course, I wish that it was stopped. I wish that nothing had happened. But I understand you said that, and you actually asked, where was the police? The police showed up on the scene fairly quickly. But again, this is Boulder, Colorado. This is not expecting a terrorist attack. They were no plans. When I watched the chief of police, whoever it was, speaking, it wasn't a bad speech, but he was like, look, I don't know what this is. I don't know what the motives are. We're going to figure this out. But we know on the other side of this, we already had the FBI calling it out. So at least there is that. But thank you for your call, Kevin. I appreciate it. I want to continue on, though, because I'm going to try to get a few more calls in before we have to wrap up. Mike is calling in Missouri on line 3. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. The Bible says that if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed, and if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And Israel is surrounded by nations, including the Palestinians, that have been cursing them for centuries. And so I believe the Palestinians created their own bed. They got to sleep in it.
Look, Mike, you're bringing up the bless and curse, the curse. I think it's pretty clear. It's very biblical. It's in there. You will have all the justifications about how, and look, that's part of, by the way, the entire plan of the anti-Semitic community that believe the Jews control the media and control the world, and they'll say all these horrible things, is they'll say, well, that's not the same Israel. You know, this is the Israel from the 40s. This is not Israel from biblical times. Those aren't the Jews you actually think that people have Jewish heritage. Those aren't the real Jewish people. The real Jewish people are these other people. That is what is created. And look, when you say they're surrounded by countries that curse them, I would include America in that. I'm a little fed up with the way that we've treated this, and not necessarily coming from a Trump administration. President Trump made a very strong statement. But, you know, I saw a comment come in on the chat that said, you know, the left media, they certainly don't, we can't, he said, I agree that much of the leftist legacy media isn't without sin. Neither is so is the right media. The far right media has, I think, done more damage. Because some of those are some very big influencers and big voices. And I'm not even talking about ones that you'd consider like a Rogan or a Tim Dillon. Those guys were never like the leaders they're having conversations. They were never the leaders in conservative values. You're talking about people who are the leaders in conservative values that have now turned on Israel. Let's go ahead and go to Kathy, who's calling in Ohio on line 6. And by the way, they haven't just turned on Israel. They've turned on the Jewish people. It's not turning on a government. I understand your frustration with the Israeli government. I understand your frustration with the American government, whether you're Republican or Democrat, but it's now calling out people, a people group. Go ahead, Kathy, go ahead.
I just feel like that until the media outlets incur some kind of heavy debt for misrepresenting the news and reporting it ahead of finding out the facts, this isn't going to stop. And there needs to be a class action suit by the people in Colorado against the media that promoted the false information about the Gaza situation. Yeah. I mean, it never...
I understand the frustration, Kathy. I'm only cutting you off because running out of time. I understand the frustration, but there's a lot of grace in the media.
Really difficult to get those things unless it was knowingly and provably meant to defame. And I think a class action suit would be even harder to get a certified class that they were trying to racially defame an entire class of people.
Yeah, hey,
especially that also in there, they put things like the IDF denies this. So yeah, they still
eventually
follow Matthew, the journalistic whatever.
Hey, Matthew, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get your call today. Call back earlier tomorrow. I'll make sure you get bumped up to the front. Make sure you tell the phone screener I apologize profusely for not getting to you. I want you to support the work of the ACLJ. I mean, you can do that by just signing a petition today and show your support for everything that's happening for your Jewish brothers and sisters. People said, I need sleep. I'll get there at some point. It's a tough time in America right now. You can help out. Go to aclj.org/sign, scan the QR code. See you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.